Okay. Got 32 hours.
I won't do that. Okay, so we're singing this song. It's called Sad Goswami Astaka, Eight Prayers to the Six Goswamis by, who's it by?
Srinivas
Acharya. He wrote it. It's like biographical, like that, after they disappeared. And we've been doing two verses a day, just chanting it and kind of reading it. And in the song book, it's right in the very beginning. It's one of our major principal songs, you know, for meditation, for appreciation of content. So today we're on number, what is it here? Up arrow. Okay. Okay. There we go. We're on text number 5 and 6. Okay. Could you see it at all? We had 20-60 vision in this class. Kujat kokila hangsa sarasagana kirne mayur akule.
Kujat kokila hangsa sarasagana kirne mayur akule.
Nanaratna vibhada mula vitapa. Shri Yukta Vrindavane
Nanaratna Nibhada Mulavitapa
Shri Yukta Vrindavane
Radha Krishna Maharnisham Prabhajito Jivarta Jojo Muda
Radha Krishna Maharnisham Prabhajato Jivarta Dojo Muda
Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalako
Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalako
Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabhi Kalava Sanikrita
Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabhi Kalava Sanikrita
Nidrahara Vihara Kari Vijito Chatyanta Dino Chajao
Nidhara Vihara Kali Vijito
Chatyanta Dino Chajao Radha Krishna Gunasmritir Maruyama Nandena Mataliko
Radha Krishna Gunasmritir
Nandina ma samohito Vande rupa sanatano raguya go Shri jiva go palako
Vande rupa sanatano raguya go Shri jiva go palako.
So the first one is Nana Ratna Kujat. Okay. Kokila is cuckoos. So it's like crowing cuckoos. I guess they don't cooing cuckoos. What do they do? Crowing cuckoos and swans. Sarasas are cranes. And gana means like a whole group. And peacocks. Okay. So what is this? We got singing cuckoos, swans, cranes, and peacocks. And we got various jewels all under the roots of the trees in beautiful Vrindavan. So first one, he's describing the transcendental world of Vrindavans. There's like, you know, swans and cuckoos and all crowing and singing. If you look under the roots, you find like diamonds and emeralds and pearls. Okay, so this is the transcendental spiritual Vrindavan. Okay, Radha Kunda Ahar Nisham, Radha Krishna. Ahar means daytime, Nisham means nighttime. Prabhaji Toa is like puja. Okay, so they're engaged in worshiping Radha and Krishna day and night. They don't stop. 24-hour yogis. And Jivarta Dojo Muda. So Jiva means the living entities, Arta means the goal, the gain, and Muda means delighted, you know. So they're giving the living entities the goal of life, the great happiness, right? Because so many people say, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Like that. You can see dogs sometimes sitting there like, no. Why am I here? What's happening? You know, is there more than just eating, sleeping? But they're giving that. Jivarta, Jivarta Dojo Muda, great delight. Yeah. So these are all qualities of the six Goswamis, Supa and Sanatana. Yeah. They're in Vrindavan, they're worshipping Radha and Krishna day and night and giving mercy to the fallen souls. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabi. Okay. What does Sankhya mean? It's a very common word. Sankhya. Sankhya Yoga.
Knowledge?
No. It's a kind of knowledge, but it means to cut, actually. It means analysis, you know, to break things down like that, you know. So Sankhya Yoga is taking a look at the world, breaking it down, who am I, you know, discovering it like that. So it means knowledge, but it's the analytical knowledge. So they divided their time up between chanting the holy names, singing songs, and dancing. Prabhupada said one time on these big festival days when you fast, like, you know, all day, 24 hours, like that, he said you can do 20 minutes of kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 20 minutes of reading with other people, and then 20 minutes of japa, chanting on beads. And the kirtan gets your body going, the reading gets your brains going, and the japa, you can meditate like that, you know. And then by the time, you know, each one, okay, you're ready to go again. I've done it for hours like that. It's just eat the three together. You can just, you know, one gets your body going, one gets your mind going, the other one gets your contemplation going. In a cycle like that for 1 hour, maybe like 5 hours we were doing like that, and they had to do some other service like that. So it's the same way. We have a regular schedule. We get up early in the morning, we do some chanting on beads, some chanting, some dancing. So they had a regular schedule like that for singing, dancing, and everything else. And that's how yoga, you have to dance. Even if it's not spontaneous, you're just going to do it. Like a bear, you know, body boo. And that's our yoga. So, and of course, you try and do it with the rhythm and try and express yourself. Okay, then very naturally, your body starts to become purified, and you start, you know, using it in a more and more subtle sense like that. So chanting, dancing, they're engaged like they their time was a kala, sankhya kala. Their time was filled up like this with singing and dancing. Nidra hara vihara kadi vajito. And this way they conquered over eating, sleeping, and recreation, and are always meek and humble in the service of Lord Chaitanya. Radha Krishna Gunas Mater. They're always contemplating the qualities of Radha and Krishna, and they're absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, like that. Okay, so not ordinary people. So here we have translation. I offer my respectful obeisance to the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measure. In this way, they utilize their valuable time, lives, and in the execution of these devotional activities, they conquered over eating, sleeping, and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Okay. Next one. These six Goswamis were sometimes on the bank of Radhakund. Wait a second here. Like... What's
Radhakund Lake?
Yeah, but this is the wrong verse. I tell you, I cut and pasted this. This is a later verse. Yeah, so they always engaged. Well, maybe, yeah. Anyway, okay. I had translation before.
No, I forgot the one with the cuckoos.
Yeah, yeah, that's wrong. I got the cuckoos there. I forgot this. I got this backwards. But I cut and pasted it like that. So basically, yeah, they're always in Vrindavan, you know, engaging in hearing and chanting, and they see the transcendental Vrindavan. Yeah. What we see is like a gross manifestation, like that, you know, like somebody, you know, who's deaf. They come here and they see like our mouths moving and this kind of stuff, but they don't, you know. I know what talking is. They were talking. Not the talking, it's the gross manifestation. So the Vrindavan we see is the gross manifestation, but if you're more purified, you can see the real Vrindavan. Okay, yes. Goswami Astaga, like that. You missed it. It will never come again. Okay. So, Sagoswami Astaka. And again, Prabhupada said, Bhadravardhan told me that Prabhupada said, if you chant it every day, all of your desires for Sankirtan will be fulfilled. Okay. Okay, and close this too. Okay, so we have 5 days here. And the first day we went over what? We went over the general course content. And the materials we have to use. And of course the focus is Rupa Goswami, his literature. And of all of Rupa Goswami's works, his opus magnum, magnus opum, his greatest work is considered to be Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada translated as Nectar of Devotion. And so that's the content, main content of the course here, the focus, very valuable. So it's divided in four parts, you know, the eastern part, the southern part, western part, and northern part. Yeah. Okay. So in the previous course, Bhakti Shastri, we do the eastern part, which is about basically about what overview of what is devotional service, what is pure devotion to God. And again, we quote Prabhupada saying that somebody says, oh, I have so much devotion, bhakti, for the demigods. I have so much bhakti for my wife. When I don't see her, I cry. And then Prabhupada said, this is not bhakti, this is lust. Okay. So what is Uttama Bhakti? Like that. In the very beginning of the book, he gives a definition of Uttama Bhakti. What's the verse number?
1.111?
Yeah, it's easy to remember. It's 1.1.11. Okay? Yeah, won't forget that. Yeah. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadinavritam krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Yeah. Pure devotional service is activity empowered by the parampara, you know, guru chain, for Krishna, with a favorable intention to please Krishna, yeah. And it should be free from. It shouldn't be covered by any desire for free results, for you know, selfish knowledge, or those kind of things. Okay, so very crafted phrase, and the whole book is like expanding that. Then, you know. So the first part defines what is bhakti, and then he goes into the basic things of three levels. Sadhana bhakti? No, that's part of sadhana bhakti. Bhava bhakti?
Prema
bhakti, yeah. So sadhana bhakti has two parts.
What else? Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Travanuga sadhana bhakti.
Yeah, so vaidhi means you're following the rules and regulations of your particular religion, following your acharya, your saint. And it purifies you. You can actually go to the spiritual world just by doing that, because it gets more intense, more different rules and regulations. But you can, when you get to a certain point, when you're kind of liberated from this material conception so much, then you can take to Raganuga. Yeah, Raga means the flavor, the nature, like that. Ana means afterwards, and Ga means to go. So somebody's attracted to Jesus Christ. Actually, the biggest selling Christian book after the Bible is a book called Imitation of Christ by Thomas Akampus. It's a nice book, you know, written maybe like the 15th century or something. And he describes very nice. Actually, basically, it's like kind of like a guide for people who are living in the same kind of place like we're living here. Monks and also very pious, married people, like that. And you read it, it's very, you know, he says, okay, you have some time, you could read the Holy Scriptures, or you could talk to somebody. Probably better to read the scriptures, because you start talking to somebody, almost always you're going to start criticizing other people. So better to... It's like, yeah. So many very, very practical things like that. And very, very, very nice discussions about death and everything else like that. You know, imitation of Christ. Okay. So somebody may want to do, you know, try and follow Christ's example. That's also Raganuga, following his sentiments, his perspectives. So he's describing that level where you've got to be a little bit purified, and then you can actually try and follow this person transcendentally, so on. Yeah. But see, you're still practicing. You're still, you know, doing it as a conscious effort. But if you do that, then at some point your real sentiments start to come out, like compassion, friendship, humor, heroism, mercy. But it's not the same. I'm just doing it because I should do it. You know, okay, I don't eat meat because, you know, I like it a lot. I like chicken. Yeah. But okay, I know that it's going to hurt the chicken, so I won't do it like that. You know, so that's inviting. You're doing it because you know it's right. But later on, when you come to Bhava Bhakti, as you see, these are creatures just like me. And I was there before. I was a chicken like that. Okay, so then just naturally you just start acting out with these things, and also in terms of God. So that's Bhava Bhakti, where your real sentiments are there. That's what we're studying this time. Next course will be Prema Bhakti.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the southern part. And we went over the details of how he describes how it works. And again, it's just like you have Russian ice or French ice. You put heat, you're going to get water. More heat, you're going to get steam. So if you look at Teresa of Avila, or you look at Rupa Goswami, they're describing the same things, but it's just from, you know, different cultures, different perspectives. He describes it as an ocean, different ways. Now, Teresa describes it as a palace made of all solid crystal. Okay, so the first level is like the courtyard. Okay, and that's where maybe the local people come, and there's a fair where you sell your handicrafts and your vegetables and stuff like that. And everybody's welcome, but there's some guards to make sure things are in order and people are coming and going and stuff like that. So that's like the Sunday feast, right? Everybody's welcome, but you've got to be a little bit of comportment and stuff like that. But everybody's something that's very nice, okay? And you appreciate being with devotees and good people, okay? The next step is where you actually go in the palace. Now, she has a whole discussion about how some people just don't want to give up being in the courtyard, because when you go in the palace, you've got to have more rules and regulations. So you see the same thing in our program. Well, I'd like to live in the temple, but I like just coming to Sunday feast, having my own apartment, sleeping when I want to sleep, this kind of stuff. You know, I'm in the temple, I know I got to do more stuff. Yeah, so you see, it's exactly the same thing, but she's like, you know, talking about different things, and it's like, yeah, it's nice to see different perspectives. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that whenever we go to somebody else's place of worship, we should think, okay, that the same God I'm worshiping is being worshiped here. And I can learn something by seeing how he's being worshipped in a different perspective. But because I belong to a certain tradition, I won't be engaged in the details of this process. Vatican V or whatever it is, the last big Vatican thing that they made about what is Christianity, how to do it, it's the same thing in terms of other religions, what they say, you know, current policy. Basically the Pope and the cardinals could come to the Sunday feast in the Hare Krishna temple. They could clap their hands with a kirtan and sing, but they couldn't dance. It's kind of like this, like that's like, okay, you know, and we go the same way. And when it comes time to take the blood and the flesh, drink the wine and take the wafers, we kind of sit there and, you know, and everybody else go up and drink the wine, take the bread, and we just kind of, actually it says right in the Christian Bible, it will say like if you're Catholic so-and-so, you can participate. Or if you belong to the so-and-so confession, like the Armenian so-and-so, they have agreements with about two or three other groups that they accept, like, okay. If you belong to other Christian tradition, you can pray to God during this time, but don't come up for the sacrament. And if you don't believe in God, at least pray for the peace amongst human beings, like that. It says that. If you don't believe in God, okay, please pray for, like, you know, contemplate and hope the world gets better, like that. So, Bhava Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti. Yeah. So she describes it in these different ways like that. Now, the other person that's nice, actually even better, is Saint Bernard. Saint Bernard of Clear Valley. San Bernardino de Clairvaux. And he has a commentary on the Song of Solomon in the Bible. You know this? Know that? Yeah, the Song of Songs. It's supposedly Solomon wrote it, and it starts off with "Kiss me with the kiss of your lips." Okay, that's how it begins. You know, it's all these conjugal feelings of love, like that, and so on. And so he starts off by saying, "Okay, I'm only going to talk about these things. You know, maybe four or five lectures, all translated, and I don't know, maybe like 16th century or something." He said, "I'm only going to talk about these things because you're ready for them." Because by studying Ecclesiastes and, what's the other one, Proverbs, you become free from the lust for gross gratification of the body and the lust for satisfaction of the mind with prestige and honor. So now you're ready to talk about these things. So he gets very clear, like texts and stuff, you know, that are necessary to go through these things, free from your gross body and free from your subtle body. Okay, now we'll talk about these things, these feelings. So basically he says, yeah, there's a kiss of the lips, but he said, before that, you know, brothers and sisters, there's a kiss of the feet. You know, okay. And the kiss of the hand. Like you're a complete rascal. You're a really good master who takes care of you, watches out for you since you're a kid, but then suddenly you start stealing money from him, you corrupt his wife, you run off with money, and going on like this. And after 1 year, there's like six guys, he's about ready to cut you in little pieces for all the things you've been doing. He knocks the door down, fights with him, gets a cut across his face, you know, loses half of his finger, gets you out of there, saves your life, runs away with you. So what do? Grab his feet and say, oh God, thank you. I didn't deserve that. So this is sambandha, right? You know, we're reconnecting our relationship with Krishna. We're admitting we've done all this stupid stuff, you know. And okay, it's the kiss of the feet. Okay. Then after you get initiated, you're following a process, you're doing well, you're controlling yourself. And then the master says, hey, this has to be at so-and-so's house by 1 o'clock. It's only 1 hour. Can you get it there? And you say, yes, sir. With that, do it. So this is sambandha, abhideya, where you're in progress. You got some control, but you still got desires, but they're under control. You know? So he discusses all these things, the same things we have at different levels. Then finally he talks about sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, about the kiss of the lips. And he doesn't go into details, at least what I've read so far, but he says basically this is a very intense feeling of intimacy where God reveals everything about who he is and trusts you with the most confidential things like that. So same idea, you know, the same stages we're talking about. Adoshrada, you memorize this verse? Adoshrada, Sarusanga, Vajanakriya, Anartanivritti, Nishta, Ruchik,
Asaktis,
Bhava Prema. This is at the end of the first eastern part. After going through, you're giving a summary of everything, he puts this verse there. It's a very quick summary, and it occurs again and again in Prabhupada's books, because different medicine is necessary at different levels. You know, where am I? Where is this guy at? You know, it's just like it's a sports accident. Some guy's lying there, his heart's not working. The guy's run out with these electro paddle things, you know, rip his shirt off, put it on there, push the button, his whole body comes off the ground by 1 inch. You know, you check if the heart's going. If the heart's going, you don't hit him with the electric thing again. Like that. Then probably what you do is you massage his arms and stuff like that, and circulation. You know? So it's for our own benefit, and because we're trying to help other people, we need to know these levels. Okay, this is the little brother. This is a summary, Bhadrupa Goswami, a summary of everything. And this is the complete science. And there's two dramas, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, where he shows all these beautiful, intense sentiments in spiritual life like that. So if you look in here, probably going to be text number 8. Okay. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has commented on this verse. Okay, it's not that verse. Maybe it's number 7. Yeah, there it is. Okay, right, the picture's right in the middle. Okay. The conclusion is, in order to get freed from material disease, one must take to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Okay, that's why ISKCON exists. One must begin with faith. Sanskrit?
Shraddha.
Adoshrada, yeah. And when this faith is increased by chanting, a person becomes a member of the society.
Sadhusanga.
We are sending Sankirtan parties all over the world. They're experiencing even in the remotest part of the world where there's no knowledge of Krishna. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attracts thousands of men. Some people, yeah. In some areas, people begin to imitate the devotees by shaving their heads and chanting Hare Krishna only after a few days. This may be imitative, but imitation of a good thing is desired. Some imitators gradually become interested in being initiated by the spiritual master and offer themselves for initiation. If one is sincere, he is initiated. Yeah, and this stage is called Bhajana Kriya. One then actually engages in the service of the Lord by regularly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 times rounds a day, refraining from illicit sex, intoxicants, meat eating, and gambling. By Bhajana Kriya, one becomes attains freedom from the contamination of materialistic life. Yes, he no longer goes to a restaurant, except for Govinda's restaurant in Varadesh, to taste palatable dishes made with meat and onions. Nor does he care to smoke or drink tea or coffee. Okay? So he gets free from these gross principles. Yes, this is after initiation. You know, you get these things go away. Right? So Prabhupada changed that. Before Prabhupada, yeah, he gave Harinam initiation before people were following the four principles.
Really?
Yeah. And yes, that's Harinam initiation. Then you're chanting, everything else, you go away. Then you take second initiation. In this way, it's to be understood that he's becoming cleansed of unwanted things, anartha nivritti. The word anartha means unwanted things, they go away. When a person is relieved from unwanted things, he becomes fixed in executing devotional service.
Nishta.
Indeed, he becomes attached. Asaktis. And experiences ecstasy in executing devotional service. This is called bhava, the preliminary awakening of dormant love of Godhead. Okay? Preliminary awakening of dormant love of Godhead. Thus the conditioned soul becomes free from material existence, loses interest in the bodily concept of life, including material opulence, material knowledge. At such time one can understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what is his maya. Although maya may be present, it cannot disturb a devotee once he attains the bhava stage. Nine. Yeah. Okay. So this is again bhava. At that point, there's no possibility of an accidental fall down. It's very clear. Maya is there. This is that. Not like, well, maybe that's maya, maybe not. And that doesn't go into prema or not. Yeah, doesn't go like that. But that's very common. If you know the verse, you can see Prabhupada's doing it. And he describes it in different ways each time. So each time you get a little different perspective on it, and you can see, like, so where are you? Adoshwada, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti?
Maybe.
Okay, Nishta?
No.
Okay, but you're beginning more, you're more than you were before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's you see, okay, so why am I? I'm kind of like initiation, my bad habits are going away, I stop looking at stupid magazines and whatever like that, or something, stupid friends, and okay. Yeah. But yeah, I still feel, someday I have my doubts. Why am I here? What's going on like that? You know, so my faith is like, sometimes, but not very much. Okay, I know why I'm here. So it's like that. It's like a curve, you know. And as you go on, the curve is going more. So at this stage, some days you may get really kind of fixed in the taste and things and so on, but not so often. Okay, so everybody's, you know, a different level. So it's a very important verse to memorize. And also, again, Bhagavad Gita 4.10. 4.10? Right on Bhagavad Gita 4.10. That's where, in the purport, the Prabhupada list gives the whole thing in Sanskrit like that, too. Good
done. But originally it's from Sisi, huh?
Huh?
Originally it is from Sisi, is it?
No, it's from Bhakti Rasmita Sindhu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in the 4, it's in 1... 4 something. Yeah. Because it's in the first, you know, first part, fourth wave, because he's already gone through everything like that. He's gone through, you know, who can become a devotee, how to practice devotion, following rules and regulations, how to practice following an advanced devotee, how to cultivate the real sentiments when they're coming, bhava bhakti, and what is it like in the mature state, prema bhakti. So then he summarizes everything in this one verse. Adoshvada, sadhusanga. Yeah.
And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, this book of Madhuri Kadambini,
yeah,
it's based on that shloka. Yeah?
I think so, yeah. 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 So it's like something that worth memorizing the verse, and then like always watching it and seeing how Prabhupada uses it, and you develop it after a while. Another one he uses is, I can't remember, it's the verses from the second canto. Sanskrit now. Shimvatanswakatakrishna Punyashravana Kirtana Pradyantasto Bhadarani Vasudeva Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayochita. It's also in the purport to the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's 7.1, like that. But that one also describes the levels like that. You can kind of match them back and forth. But you hear Prabhupada quoting those two like that. So, what we've been doing, right? It's this overview of the whole nectar and bhakti rasamita sindhu, because it's way too big, you know, for 15 hours, you know, to go through the whole thing. But get some perspective on it and appreciation, and later on, you can use it and stuff like that, you know, give classes. So, yesterday we went into details then of the southern part, right? Bhava. So, Bhava has five elements. Remember what they are?
Vibhava, Anubhava. Static bhava?
Sattvic.
Sattvic bhava. Stiva is the top one.
Yeah.
And the other one is
the Abhichari bhava.
Abhichari bhava. Yeah. The Abhichari bhava.
So what, I'm going to put a circle here. Okay, so then, and Tulasi. What do those mean in English? Oh, she cheat. Okay. This is again when you actually your real sentiments are coming. It's very rarely achieved. At this point, you don't even care if you're in the material world or not. You don't forget peace. It's Buddha.
Oh, but he's the
way.
Vedas.
The Vedas, Samaveda.
Yeah, it's not like
Buddha Bhagavan stole drums. Yeah.
But vibhava is a stimulation of
its
eternal affection
for Krishna. Yeah, so vibhava, those things that stimulate the things. What are some examples of vibhava? You might think of it, stimulate.
Oh. For example, Krishna's flute. Huh?
Okay.
Or Krishna's devotee.
Wait, are those alambana or udipana?
Krishna and Krishna's forms are alambana? Is
yeah,
it?
A comes first, A, B, C, D, F, G.
And then udipana and paraphernalia and things like that?
Yeah, things that, like Krishna's temple, Krishna's flute, Krishna's shoes, things that take us to Krishna, like that. But Krishna's smiling, Krishna talking, you see. Krishna says, hey, hello, yeah, hello Fabio, glad to see you. Welcome to Radha Day. Well, thank you, Krishna. She talked to me personally. Yeah, wow. So then what happens? Krishna talks to you personally, and then what happens?
You get some reaction.
Yes, there's two kinds. Two kinds.
Yeah, Anubhava, which is a kind of conscious decision.
Yeah.
For example,
you say thank you, Krishna.
Or singing or something like that.
Thank you, Krishna. Shake his hand.
Yeah. And then the Sattvika Bhava is an involuntary reaction.
Your hair stands on end, like that. Or you can't talk, tears come to your eyes. Yes. Yeah. Why? I think I mentioned this. Was it Ron and Lucille? They knew Prabhupada, never got initiated. They're from New York. So they had like a place out in the forest, you know, not kind of the forest, you know, it's California. And they lived like that, very simple people, and just run across by nature and everything. Okay. So they have a dog, it's half wolf. Have I told you this? Mm-hmm. No, it's half wolf, half like, you know, German shepherd. Mm-hmm. Friendly guy, you know. So Ron goes off of a walk and he walks right almost into a puma. He's like, you know, a mountain lion, you know, with from nose to tail sticking out about this long, like that. They're you know, real kind of lions, like their body maybe from there to here. So anyway, he sees her, and you're kind of looking at him like that. Somebody who's still in California exists. So you run away? No, that's the first thing. As soon as you run, it's just saying, eat me. You know, what you do is you kind of look casually, kind of yawn. And that kind of shows indication, like, don't just show your teeth, because that's kind of like, I'm going to fight with you, but this kind of thing is like, and it's kind of showing your vigor and stuff. It's a whole communication, right away it's saying, like, I'm not afraid of you, and I'm pretty big, you know. So she's looking at him, and he kind of turns around slowly, and I wanted to go this way anyway. So he's walking along, and kind of looking back every now and again, and she's just following him, you know. So he gets back to the house, and they're up in the little hill. There's his dog. He goes up, and he kind of grabs the dog's collar and wakes up, and the dog goes, and he said, the dog just went, was suddenly this big. You know, the hair just like stood up, you know, it was just like never seen it before, just like, And the dog's anubhava was what was said. We couldn't figure out whether we should attack or we should run away. But it didn't take any kind of big explanation to figure out this is not, you know, a house cat. This is, he knew right away this is like, you know, he was like, he's holding him there like that. And the cat kind of pauses and walks away like that. So,
wow.
But it was like, you know, it was an involuntary reaction to this stuff. But it was just like a nice smooth coat and it just stood up like that. And, of course, the cat probably pretty impressed too. Wow. You know? So, but that's Sattvika Bhava. Okay. Then what's Sthayi Bhava?
Sthayi Bhava is the result, the end.
Huh?
The relationship with Krishna?
Yeah, our fundamental basic basic feeling of affection. And it is five kinds. Mm-hmm. Wait, what are the five kinds of Sthayi Bhava? Neutrality.
Oh, you mean...
That's the Sthayi Bhava.
Purya, Vatsalya.
Yeah. English.
Oh, okay. No, it will be difficult in English.
Neutrality.
Friendships. Or service.
Servant.
Servant, friendships. Parental, I mean like a parent.
Yeah.
And Madhurya is loving...
Conjugal. Yeah. Now again, this is our particular relationship. Somebody feels like Krishna, like the little kid, they want to take care of him, make sure he's okay. Someone feels like a friend, they want to play with him. But these are the basic sentiments. You know, he's saying they're just in the spiritual world. Now of course it can be combinations of them. This is called rati, you know, when it becomes a little mature. And because of that feeling, that rati in service to Krishna, it produces a juice which is called
rasa.
Yeah, and the rasa is the experience like that that comes that the Krishna enjoys this and we enjoy this. Yeah. So this is, he's trying to describe these advanced emotional sentiments and love of God, which Teresa of Avila, and then I don't know how far John St. Bernard goes. I didn't read the whole thing. But he says definitely these higher things exist, the kiss of the lips. But I think he would also include, like, you know, in the Christian tradition, do they have Vatsalya Ras on a transcendental level in the Christian tradition? Parental affection?
Well, Madame Maria is there, but yeah. I'm not sure if...
Mary, yeah. 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 And so it's the whole thing, like when her son was being crucified, she was there. The whole thing like that, my God, you know, yeah, so on. So they very advanced, the senior monks and nuns, they talk about these things, or they contemplate these literatures, but it's only if you've been like a nun for like 15 years, now you can start talking about things. We know you're not, you know, subtly enjoying, you know, all these relationships and stuff. So it's there in the Christian tradition, but it's like, they forgot it. You know, of course, the Hindus also forgot it too. Srila Prabhupada's come to wake everybody up. Yeah. So, this feeling of Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, what is Via Vichari Bhava then? Back around here.
Via Vichari Bhava. Is that the one where Manishara curses?
From an analogy.
Yeah.
It's a temporary sentiments that come out of the Sthayi Bhava. You know, like again, like a mother when she's protecting her child from some danger, some tiger, she may become so ferocious, this tiger just goes away. I won't eat your kid, forget it, you know. But she isn't like that all the time, like that. It's just something which comes out temporarily out of the basic attraction and then goes back in again, like that, so on. So, okay, Rupa Goswami invented all this. He just came up with this, decided, I'll call it this, I'll call it that, I'll call it this.
No, it comes from Bhartamuni. I mean, it technically comes before him, but
yeah,
the scholars say Bhartamuni.
Well, he gets citations from the Upanishads and stuff like that. Okay, Bhartamuni. When did he live? Approximately 1850, 1720.
Second century.
It's a later edition.
Yeah, they say David Haberman says that probably the text existed in fragments. You have fragments of the thing by the 3 centuries before Christ, but the actual whole text, the oldest copy we can find, is like 2 centuries after Christ. And so I think it's what it is. Yeah. Isn't that nice? So, when did Buddha live?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, 6 centuries or something before Christ?
Yeah, 5th century, I think. Yeah, so it's good. I think China and Japan at the same time. Actually, a lot of people. It was kind of a whole big time, like, you know. Yeah. Okay, so then Bharata Muni, then after him, tradition passes down through?
Gupta.
Abhinavagupta.
Abhinava.
Yes, okay. And he also, what was his particular view of, so it's all coming out of what tradition? Was it coming out of religious traditions? This is all of religious ideas?
No, because
was it for the church? Bharata Muni was writing for the church?
Bharata Muni, I don't know what he was, but
Shaiva.
I thought Gupta was the Shaiva.
But Bharata Muni was writing for the theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing is for the theater, basically. Okay, that's how it all developed. Like that. And so then Abhinavagupta was his idea.
That the actor can actually feel it?
Yeah, that's one of the things, one of his elements, is the actor, when he's on stage, he doesn't actually feel the bhava, the rasa. You know, his idea, Aristotle's idea was the essence of the drama is?
Plot.
Plot. You know, this guy does this, you know, to one in Capo Verde, some guy's sister gets kidnapped by evil pirates, and he and his friends go to rescue her from the evil pirates. Okay, that's the drama plot. But then Bharata Muni's idea was the plot wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was?
The feeling.
Yeah, to create this bhava, this sentiment, this experience of like heroism or something like that. You know, yeah, the plot also is designed that way, but some people, so he was emphasizing that. And then so Abhinavagupta, one thing he says is the actors who are doing this, who are trying to create this, they're so much involved in their doing things that they can't actually experience it. You know, the audience will experience it, but not them. Okay, what else do you say?
Shantarasa.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess the Shantarasa is the highest.
Yeah, he added this one more rasa of neutrality and impersonal. The whole purpose of theater is to come to the point of being detached from everything, so you can just kind of peacefully enjoy life, looking at it like that, and relish. So he was impersonalist. Yeah, the higher feelings of his idea was motherly feelings are actually maya. You get rid of those motherly feelings and you have a kind of impersonal appreciation for your child, like that.
Like that. Great. Yeah.
In the theater, yes. And how did he compare it to the experiences that the monks could feel in their ecstasy? Yes, their practices. He was comparing it. The monks in their ecstasy and worshipping Shiva. He said it was comparable. It was heading in the right direction, but it didn't include it, you know, the full yogic practice, a full yogic experience. Okay. Was he following Bharata Muni?
I'm not sure. I think he must have read him somewhere.
Yeah, it all comes from him, but he definitely says I've changed things like that. And there's a couple people in between Bharata Muni and Abhinavagupta. Then after him, different people are adjusting it. We come down to who?
King Bhoja.
Bhoja. And what was his idea? Could the actors appreciate it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. They had to appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. And who can experience rasa? Anybody?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
What's required?
Anybody can experience rasa. No?
No, neither one of them.
To him, no.
And they have to have a background of vasana, previous vasanas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that. Somebody comes in drinking his beer, eating his hamburgers, and that, and they can't experience these feelings like that, sentiments. You know. So it's a certain kind of background of cultured, spiritual, human existence from previous lifetimes. And then you come to the theater and you can watch it in a drama and you can appreciate it like that. So the Rupa Goswami, he's following basically the same ideas, the same principles. But he has a bhakti ras, a rasa for God, you know, spiritual. Did anybody else have that? Did you do your reading? Anybody have it before Rupa Goswami?
There was someone, Hema, something.
Yeah, Himadri. Yeah, it was there. Some people were talking about it and having these feelings like that. But he says, but definitely it was, nobody has put it so systematic as Rupa Goswami. And he re-expanded the whole thing, that all the world's a stage, and the stage ultimately includes the whole cosmos. So he just, so what's his name? David Haberman's ideas is evolving. But I think our idea is, no, it's already there, and Rupa Goswami is just reviving this knowledge like that and stuff, and just putting it back in normal sense. And maybe even Bharata Muni and everybody else, they got it from, you know, from before when it was fully manifest. Grammar is the same way. The Sanskrit grammar is considered to become corrupted by local languages. Panini comes along and purifies it and gives, you know, precise rules and stuff. So he's a reformer. Yeah. Even what's his name, the Euclid. This, you know, these rules of Euclidean geometry. He said, "I'm just taking previous stuff and just putting it like in a real precise fashion, which everybody appreciated." So pretty much as a whole thing, yeah, there's a lot of evidence that. Actually, even the Encyclopedia Britannica, it's online now, so it gets updated. So they, even they say, like, well, history, like, then with the Middle East, they're discovering all these new things, you know, just some palace, something like, they discover some palace with 150 rooms, and rooms was full of, like, these clay tablets with all this information on them. It's the Jews, you know, history, all the more history about the Jewish tradition. So even they say, people are kind of giving up this evolutionary idea which dominated, you know, 20th century thinking, that everybody before us was, you know, less stupid, more stupid, and everything else less. Because you're looking at it, they weren't. They had actually pretty sophisticated ideas, you know, of religion and everything else like that. They were worshipping Al, you know, Alhambra, Alcazar, and all was related to the sun, you know, and the appreciation of God through the divinity through the sun. In fact, the Jews weren't monotheistic. They came across as the Canaanites got them fired up. They became monotheistic at that point. Somehow they became the famous guys. You know, but many groups here, religious groups like that. So, because of Prabhupada, you know, this whole idea of that things are, you know, evolving, the evolutionary theory is starting to, you know, lose credence, especially in history and stuff. So, Abhinava Gupta. Okay, Maharaj Bhogja, and Rupa Goswami. Okay? And then Rupa Goswami then gives a whole, you know, explanation in the book like that. So, we kind of caught up here. We survey. Any comments, questions, complaints, donations? Like that. I've been watching movies yesterday, too. Because you begin to see, then once you read all this thing, I mean, you won't be the same. After you go to this class, you won't be able to watch a movie anymore without, like, analyzing and stuff, you know? Yeah. Okay. So it seems like it's just like a, you know, movement there. You start knowing how. No, it's whole, all kinds of techniques and stuff about how, like, how the effect is created in communication. Can't avoid. How do you make a movie?
How do you make a movie?
How do you make a movie? You know how making movies. Get a camera and turn it on. No. You start with a story, maybe, and a storyboard, you know what that is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's little figure stick drawings. You know, like, okay, want a shot like this, want a face shot like this and that. So the guys already know. So kind of just, you know, little stick figures, okay. Well, first you want a long shot of the room, then you want a Hanapari Shaksa Swami, a head shot to the chest. Usually you go this much. Okay, now I'm going to cut here to, you know, to Tulsi and Radhasiva, cut back and forth, cut to the eyes. You know, it's like it's all written, drawn out like that. And so they're actually taking it. And you also look at it, see how long each shot is. You don't watch it normally, but you start watching it, you see how long each shot is, the timing, you can see, yeah, it's got a certain timing and stuff. And when someone's making angry, watch it, how many times when somebody's making an angry statement, it cuts into a close cut of the face. Yeah. Who's the guy? Charlton Heston. You know him? He played Moses and stuff like this. He was this big classical actor and stuff like that, you know, and so on. But he was, a lot of his acting he did with his body, you know, body language and stuff like that. So television is designed for more close-up. So you see a lot more close-ups in television than you will see in the movies. And his face wasn't so expressive, so he never was successful in television. But in movies, it's just like successful. So it isn't the same in movies on television. Like Oscar's movies we do, he's just experienced to working in stage production. So the movies we have, and you watch them on the screen, they're like, you know, okay, you know. But when you see them on a big television thing, it's just like absorbing. He has these things of slowly going through the galaxy with this heroic movie when it's here, it's like, so, you know. But when it's this big screen, it's like, you know, you feel like grabbing on your chair. So the different media and communication and how they work. That's what a Brahmin means, right? How to communicate these ideas. Okay, Noam Chomsky, discussed him a little bit. So I can go ahead here. Should we go ahead? Okay. So you got overview, summary. We went through Vibhava, the details. Okay. Vibhava, Alambana, Udipana, and Alambana can be Vishaya and Ashraya. Okay, the Vishaya can be according to age, form, this and that, and there's all these details like that. You know, how these different things stimulate as Krishna's flute. The reason it's so analytical is because at that time the predominant philosophy was, what was it? Sanskrit. Na.
Nyaya.
Yeah, Nyaya, logic, like Aristotle. So everybody says, yeah, we know, but we can put everything into categories, analyze it, yeah. So Rupa Goswami wrote this book to show that religion is also quite understandable. And it was, we have the same thing now. That's what it means to know, means to analyze things, to be a scientist. Okay, so we can explain it that way. And for our kind of mentality, it's useful to put things in categories and stuff. And then we can, like, you know, where our mind is satisfied, then, okay, I'm studying Krishna's flute, but that's okay, it's connected up, it's all there, I'll get to other things, this is how it connected. You know? Later on, analysis doesn't become so prominent, because you're really into the rasas. And probably you see how Prabhupada's books, like he's not so analytical in some ways, but you see it probably because it's tasteful, like that. It's like you eat the Sunday feast, okay, put this here, put that there. Eat all of this and some of that, you know, like that. Great. Yeah, but you can tasting something, okay, enough sweets, I want something bitter here, a little bitter food. Now. So Prabhupada's books, the same way the acharyas, you see probably they're more based upon, like, you know, certain feelings and sentiments, how they organize the material. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So today, we're going to start modern application. Okay, and for that we have several texts. We had, I don't know if I gave you or not. I gave one of the people who I guess I gave everybody the texts. What happened here? I'm looking for American Bhagavat Curriculum, Graduate Studies, Nectar of Devotion 2. And then I got, where'd I put that? The one I gave you all a file, right? Yeah. But I can't find out where I have it. Where do I have it? It's not on my desktop. Should be here. Oh, wait a second. Yeah. Not there either. That's where I recorded. That's the classes I recorded. I'm trying to see if I gave you Rupa to Modern. Do you have that? That's the essay I did for the Gaudiya Math.
Yes, yeah.
Huh? There? Okay. So what that is basically it's like a paper I did for the you know, Gaudiya Math Centennial Program. It was published. And it's too big for this thing, but it gives like the citations and the perspective and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it was like, you know, big professors, you know, saying it was very honest and stuff. So what we're doing now is on a level where university people, everything else, like accepted, oh, you have very good knowledge of this, very nice, and they want to know more. So the text we're using, okay, so we're saying that, why not? I should write something here, otherwise I won't feel satisfied. We got Bhoja, Rupa Goswami, and Konstantin. Konstantin. Stan is Slavsky. Anyway, close enough. I can pronounce it right. Try to write my right name. Konstantin Stanislavsky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can look him up in the. I think I gave you a copy of that too. Okay, it's sticking to my foot. The Velcro thing. Yeah. Some of the things I gave you. The Encyclopedia Britannica has a very nice article on him. Probably Wikipedia does too, I'm sure. But it's the Britannica, you're going to pay $50 a year, otherwise, they won't let you get the whole thing. But I copied it and stuff, and it's available. So he was pretty much, there's one book about him called, see what I did, I started electrical engineering, changed to biological engineering, was doing surgery on frogs, and I changed to what else, in psychology, and so it's the same thing, more frogs, and I went to theater, okay, then I had to graduate pretty much, then I went to graduate school, trying to mix up psychology and theater in Northwestern, one of the best schools. Then I just kind of got out of the thing. It was too much. And my mentor advised me. Then I became a devotee. Okay, now, the best knowledge. So when I was studying the improvisation of the theater, I did different things, and we studied this. This is standard, like, university study. My life in art. Okay. By Konstantin Stanislavski. And this is biography. It's very readable. Very nice. Then he was existing, I think, right after World War I and before World War II, and he was in Russia, and they had theater, you know, but a lot of it, again, was this very formal thing that the director tells you, stand like this, move this, say that. It was all this external thing like that, and he didn't like that. He had a lot of discussions with other people and formations about stuff, and he would, like, one night he would just, you know, sleep with some other guy like that. So they could talk all night about this and that, you know, so on. So it was like, you know, his whole life, how he developed these ideas and everything else. So he, I think, probably anybody in theater would tell you he's like the most influential person in the modern world in terms of theater. The other people, too, who had the idea about what it means. And you see them, they're wrestling with the same things that Boju and everybody else were wrestling with. How much does the actor have to get involved? What's the purpose? What's the audience? And stuff like that. So he then started the Moscow Studio Theater. And he did dramas, and he did communist dramas about, you know, come brothers, let us march together against the evil capitalists, and, you know, together like that. What do you say? There's some songs like that, you know. The Ringing of Revolution, like that, so on. So he did like these, they were nice, good dramas about Gorky and people like that. And then he, and the modern world came. He went to Europe a little bit and to America, and every place very successful. And so many people following his system. Actually, it's called the method system. And it was the same thing. He was trying to come up with a way that you could systematically, you know, do these things every single time. You get on stage and you got to have people react a certain way. And it's interesting comparing it to the previous people like that, you know. But one of his main ideas, okay, so I guess forget his ideas, go on ahead then. Then following him, we get other people who are following him. And then Viola Spolin, there she is, like that. Okay. Viola Spolin. I think she's Czechoslovakian Jewish or something. So, and her son Paul Stills, and he's in the Britannica, his biography. So then she's following pretty much his ideas. She was teaching at Northwestern University. That's why I went there, because I came in contact. This book was first published when I was in the university. We were using it. It's like the 5th edition or something. And the copy I gave you on the thumb drive is that original one. It's a PDF thing like that. This is the expanded version, which is in the library. So she dedicates the thing in the beginning here to Neva Boyd, Ed Spolin, your brother in the Young Actors Company. So I was wondering, who is Neva Boyd? You know, and I was a graduate student there, and I was trying to, like, do something. At the same time, too, I was really suspicious about the whole program. Because as a graduate student, I got all this access to places. Jane Addams and Neva Boyd had this whole program, like 1930s and stuff, for people in this tough areas, like kids and stuff, to help them and stuff, social reform. You know, Northwestern University had a big famous school on social welfare. And so Neva Boyd developed this whole theory of games. The game is the way of communication, education, like that. And she had all of her notes for a book together, and she left her body, and those were one of the archives in the library. I went there as a graduate student. Yeah, you can look at them. It was very interesting, because they had all kinds of stuff there. It was like original research. I could have done a pretty good PhD thesis on it, I think. But she developed a whole very nice theory, which was very practical, that the game is the best way of education. Because the game, you have certain rules, so you can fix certain things, which you're going to do like that. But then also, after that, as long as you don't break the rules, you can do anything you want to win, right? Mm-hmm. So you can use all kinds of creativity, you know? And so she makes this point that intuition and creativity, in many cases, are the most important elements in education, but they're most neglected. So she's taking it from the Gyan level to the Dhyan level, you know, from intellectual understanding to meditation, contemplation, you know, from a Brahmin to a sannyasi. And she says, in general, that the actor does his job with his body, words, and mind, which is exactly how we define sannyasi. He serves God with his body, his words, and his mind. And when you do that, you can come in contact with this creative source, everything else like that, and so on. So, God is not mentioned. The kind of the question is, what is the supreme in her books and literature and things like that? It's the environment. That, I guess I could read my paper there. So, she taught so many people, so influential, and the book is one of the most prominent books in the... where he is, our friend. Grihastha on the bottom, Brahmacharya on top. Okay.
He's too fat, man.
Huh?
She's a little fat.
Yeah, robust, we say. Robust.
I'm gonna be able to climb trees like that.
Yeah, but it's cold too.
Oh, yeah.
You need the freezing weather like that. There's no skinny cats in the snow. Yeah. Yeah. Then, okay, so. Yeah. So her son started, actually in San Francisco, it was called, that's called the committee. It was in San Francisco and Los Angeles. It was an improvisational theater. And then Chicago was called the Second City, and that's where I was understudy. And then in New York, it was called the Open Stage. They were all improvisational theater. So improvisational theater means you get up, somebody gives you, okay, you're in Africa, you're Tarzan's wife, and it's getting late at night.
What?
Yeah, so you get up there and you just start improvising with other actors and stuff and produce a whole scene like that. Yeah, like that. And so that is, you know, what do you do? You know, for example, they have, okay, so how to learn this, how to do it. And the first part of the book is the theory and basic ideas with all my notes here. And the second half is exercises. And you can see it's mostly the whole thing there like that. Like that. Games.
Is it for education or is it for theater?
Huh?
Is it for education or for theater?
It's for the theater. Basically, it's improvisation, how to learn to be an improvisational actor and stuff like that. And so it's a fantastic book, very good book. Some people will say, okay, it's a nice book. Other people will say, wow, this is what I like. I like drama. And you see so many of the things that we do in the Krishna consciousness, our techniques are exactly, you know, techniques that fit in. Actually, our yoga is Gandharva Veda, you know, music, dance, drama. What we're doing like that actually is, that's how we're becoming connected. So David Haberman's book on Raganuga Bhakti is acting, you know, drama, acting as a way of salvation. Like that. Okay.
But is there some book of Yula's Spurin about this education at games?
Well, she here she kind of like gets into it, how, you know, how it's connected like that. But she doesn't, well, education in terms of what, learning English grammar or, you know.
No, maybe in general to grasp ideas.
That's here.
Or something.
Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah, because the general theory is there in the first part. And my paper extracts out like, you know, Krishna conscious thing like that. Other than that, of course, the whole thing would be nice to read.
Your paper?
Huh?
Your paper?
Yeah, one I gave it to other people. It's called Rupa to Modern. Yeah, and it's the Gaudiya Math. Dr. Bandhapadraya did it. This is how Rupa Goswami is. It was a contribution, it was Bodhisattva's 500th anniversary of his sannyas, and one section was on the contribution of Rupa Goswami's followers in the modern world. So I did one, somebody else. Rupa to Modern. But basically, it's, you know, you can